You're listening to DraftKings Network.
Sixteen teams, one trophy. The NBA playoffs are here, and all roads lead to the finals. Will NBA champions like Jokic and Giannis dominate the playoffs again, or will emerging stars like Anthony Edwards and Jason Tatum solidify their names in NBA history? The playoffs are where legends are made, and TNT will make sure you don't miss a moment of the action. Tune in to TNT's coverage of the NBA playoffs presented by Google Pixel on TNT, True TV, and Max.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
This episode is brought to you by Bumble. So, you want to find someone you're compatible with, specifically someone who's ready for a serious connection, totally open to having kids in the future, is a tall, rock-climbing Libra, and loves rom-coms with vegan pizzas on Tuesdays just as much as you do. Bumble knows that you know exactly what's right for you. So, whatever it is you're looking for, Bumble's features can help you find it. Date now on Bumble.
Welcome to the Big Suey, presented by DraftKings.
Why are you listening to this show?
The podcast that seems very similar to the other Dan Le Batard podcast.
I'm sorry, I'm not going to apologize for that.
In fact, the only difference seems to be this imaging.
I have been tempted in restaurants just walking past tables to grab somebody's fries that if they're just there. That hasn't happened to you guys?
I've done it.
And now, here's the marching man to nowhere, Fat Face, and the habitual liar.
I know you guys want and are dying for your football information. I also know that Jay told us last week, Jay Glazer with us, that the why in his life at this point, as everyone wants his football information, is to be able to spread the word on how you can get some help with your mental health, be less alone with some of the things that drag you down. And I remind you that Jay Glazer is doing a podcast where he's doing just this, where he's spending his time. Yeah, the book is a bestseller. It is moving a lot of people. The book that he's written where he's exposed, vulnerable on the stuff that he has kept most secret. And now he is also doing a podcast in which he tackles some of this stuff. But go ahead. I know, Chris Cody, you want to shot it. You want to talk Dolphins. You want to talk this.
Wait, so how are we doing this week? Are we going football, mental health? Are we going all football, then mental health? Because you guys got a little weird on it last week.
Do you cry today yet?
Have I cried today yet?
That's what the question was. It sounds like we're starting with mental health.
Could be a fantasy team reference.
I was just trying to be funny because like Dan was expecting football. No, I'm sorry for that.
Let's do
that
football. Yes, not helpful in any way, Chris.
Do we want to go back and forth or do we want to do all football?
No, we're going to do football.
And by the way, the name of the podcast is Unbreakable and the book. Unbreakable, a mental health podcast and book is Unbreakable, How I Turned My Depression, Anxiety into Motivation, and you can too.
Thank you for your help in destigmatizing mental health, Chris. We appreciate it.
Yeah, thanks.
Trying to normalize.
Thanks for trying to shame me to start the entire conversation today.
We don't condone.
If I haven't cried yet, I'm about
it's
to
basically
now.
What Dan was going to ask, just in a different way.
You know, I threw it to you to talk Dolphins Bills.
He was also workshopping that line. I'm like, go with Tua.
We all said, don't ask that. It's not funny.
I threw that to you. Not only did I throw that to you, he threw to you, hey, how are we doing this? It was awkward last week, and so you decide to start the bidding with, did you cry yet today?
Make it more awkward. And no, I didn't cry today because nothing's made me cry, and sometimes I do, sometimes I don't. I don't know. It depends. Jeez, sometimes I cry in good stuff. Sometimes I wake up in the morning
Chris Cody,
and the sky is falling.
Chris Cody, go sit in the penalty box. Go sit in the penalty box for ruining this interview. Let's start with football, and we will get to the mental health stuff because it is the reason that Jay's doing this. He doesn't need to be doing this nonsense. The Dolphins, they so badly want to believe, Jay, that one quarter is different from the seven other quarters that they saw from Tua. They so badly want to believe that this quarterback can be Herbert and Mahomes and Josh Allen and be top of the food chain. So what's real? The analysis of Tua over 3 years, it's some of the weirdest stuff I've ever seen around a quarterback, Jay. Maybe Maybe it's normal for others, but it feels like Tim Tebow, an argument breaks up, breaks around this guy all
no,
the
no,
time.
No, 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 nothing's like Tebow.
Nothing's like
it's
Tebow.
Not like Tebow. Nothing's like Tebow. So I remember standing on the sideline with a certain coach one time, and Tebow throws this beautiful pass. And I'm like, man, that's gorgeous. He goes, yep. Sometimes he throws it to the receiver. Sometimes he throws it to my secretary. Nothing's like Tebow.
You are correct. What is your assessment on Tua? What is the truth on Tua?
Okay. So here's the thing. Does he have the arm strength of those three guys? No, no. So you can't put him in the same category with those guys when it comes to arm strength. But it's amazing what happens when somebody believes in him, right? And this is the type of guy who's kind of played on moxie over the years. And, you know, I think he, you know, the fact that he hasn't caved, there's a lot of first-round picks at stake. Number one picks that, and we've seen it with guys where, you know, the Tim Couches or the David Carrs or people like that are number two picks or the Achilles Smith where they just can't get over the early criticism. You know, I wasn't so sure even about if Trevor Lawrence was going to get over last year. And this kid's mentally strong, man. He's a lot more mentally strong than I think people realized. But I do think what he needed more than anything was somebody to put his arm around him and try and show him that he believed in him and love him up a little bit.
Even
the criticism going, well, why do you get Tyreek Hill? And I was one of them. Why have Tyreek Hill if you got a quarterback who can't reach him? Well, I was wrong.
When you mention arm strength, Jay, how simple is some of the analysis? Jeff George could make coach after coach
ridiculous.
Fall in love with him because arm strength on the measurements of quarterbacks, how do you do it between accuracy and arm strength?
Oh, which would I rather? I'd rather have accuracy. Yeah, but when you have those first three guys you just mentioned, you got them both. That's the holy grail, right? So that's what you want. And no, accuracy is... That's, you know, that's the thing. Look, like Jalen Hurts, right? Jalen Hurts has all the intangibles, but is he accurate enough? If he's accurate enough, then you got yourself, you know, you're a top flight quarterback. And the problem with accuracy is it's hard to teach and it's hard to suddenly become more accurate. A lot of times either you're accurate or you're not. You can get a little bit, but a lot of times it doesn't happen.
That's why my analysis was so bad on Josh Allen. I did not think that you could coach accuracy into a quarterback and coach the reckless out of a quarterback. Didn't think it was possible.
You could do it with mechanics, right? So if you change somebody's mechanics, you can get them to be, especially a guy like Josh Allen went to a small school. All of a sudden you teach him, you know, mechanics, he can get more accurate. But it's hard what I'm saying. That's going from college to the pros. When you've been the pros for a couple of years and all of a sudden, you know, it's hard to suddenly find accuracy in year five or year six. Or now, the other way you can get accurate is if the game slows down for you. You know, so all of a sudden, like look at Alex Smith, his first few years. He had so many different offensive coordinators. His head was just spinning. All of a sudden, when he was able to get some consistency, the game slows down for him, then your accuracy your accuracy improves quite a bit.
Jay, I'm kind of confused at the Carolina Panthers strategy. I know that there
aren't you in timeout?
No, that's Chris Cody.
No, Chris Cody's in the penalty box. He might do something to get there, but
I'm just making sure you guys are following the rules. Okay,
No. I'm the one working to destigmatize mental health. That's usually my lane on the show. Carolina.
And by the way, laughter is one of my pillars to get through the depression and the anxiety. So let's keep doing it.
All right, Carolina's really confusing me since David Tepper really took ownership. He seems like he's aggressive-minded. He's trying to get as many lottery tickets on buy-low quarterbacks as he possibly can. He doesn't want to do the tanking thing. And it looks like Matt Rhule, if you're looking at odds, will be the first head coach sacked this year, even though he's getting paid a boatload and it was a lot to draw him to the pros.
7-year deal.
What is exactly going on in Carolina? Because it seems a lot more unstable of a franchise than other ones going on right now.
What's confusing about that?
Is it Tepper?
I think you just kind of hit it on the head.
But is it Tepper? Does it come from the top?
Every building starts from the top, goes down. Tepper wants to be very aggressive and wants to pay for everything and wants to turn that place into kind of like what New Orleans has. New Orleans a rolling party with a bunch of celebrities down there, and I applaud them for it. They're trying to make that place even like him putting the Carolina Panthers logo in the middle of the field, like how did nobody think of that before him? So he's doing a lot of good things, right? But, you know, do they have – it's – I don't even know how – and they have really good personnel guys over there. I think Rhule Yeah, I'm kind of, I guess I understand what you're saying, confused about that, right? Because they do have personnel where they should be a lot more consistent than they are.
Jay, can we talk about how sneaky good the Lions are on offense? Defensively, they're horrible. Can you talk about how Amon-Ra's kind of turned the corner for that team?
Actually, I think defensively they're turning around. And I do. I'm a big Aaron Glenn believer. Big Aaron Glenn guy. I think Aaron Glenn's going to end up being a great head coach, too. He's one of those guys, when he has interviews, he kind of blows people out of the water. But, yeah, offensively, I mean, you know, Jared Goff, you know, there hasn't been a lot of consistency at times, and they're starting to get him use what his strengths are. But you're talking about culture. Like, Dan, man, they are changing culture over there. That's what you want. And I think the Lions in the past used to always think the sky was falling. Something would happen, and then, oh, here we go again. Well, I think under Dan Campbell, those days are over. I don't think they have that here we go again mentality anymore. And I think they are going to bite a bunch of kneecaps on the way to, I can see them finishing at least 500. I wouldn't want to play them. I wouldn't want to see them on my schedule. I would sit there and go, man, a couple of our guys going to end up getting dinged up in this game. It's going to be a hard week after this. You know, they are definitely the hunter right now because they've, you know, they've just been crapped on for all these years.
With the Trey Lance injury, where do you see the 49ers season going with Jimmy Garoppolo?
They already knew and they thought that they had a playoff, obviously an NFC championship team. Now with Jimmy in there, I see him kind of going back to how they were a year ago. I don't see anything changing there. I think now the only thing that changes is that they don't have the constant questions over who's at quarterback. Now, I understand why they did it also. And they're doing it because they do want a two-threat guy, and they think Trey Lance is going to be one of those guys we talked about at the start of the show, right? There's only so much Jimmy can do, right? But, you know, if you have a guy who has this double threat, and he's a legit double threat, like a Josh Allen, then you're thinking, man, we just hit the lottery. That's what they see in him. They went out there to practice every day, but for them to – they've seen enough where they decided to move on from Jimmy and go to Trey. But with this injury, yeah, it allows them to just kind of put kind of that drama over on the side and just get back to playing football.
Recently, I was diagnosed with severe anxiety, and a lot of what I do on this show is performative. And I saw for like a small amount of people that – are riddled with anxiety, it can affect speech patterns, sometimes your speech slurs. I've been a little scared because I've caught it a couple of times. I'm wondering if your anxiety has ever gotten so bad while you're on the air that it's affected your ability to perform, and I'm wondering what kind of troubleshooting techniques you've had for it.
Every week, every single week, since 2005. I've never not been on the air and not had a panic attack or an anxiety attack. And here's the other thing I realized this week too. It's only on my show. It's not when I do other people's shows. So this makes no sense.
Well, it falls on your shoulders. If it's your show, the success rides on your shoulders.
But it's our show, but I got teammates over there with me. But it could be anything I'm doing. When I was hosting the UFC or Bellator, when I'm doing Ballers, anything I'm on, but not somebody else's show. It's weird. So again, anxiety has its own rules. Like it pulls up a chair, whatever dinner table it damn well pleases, or whatever studio or whatever time, and there's no warning that it's going to happen. So sometimes when I'm having that anxiety, my heart starts racing, my hands start shaking, my eyes start darting back and forth, and I start getting labored in my breathing, exactly what you're saying. So some shows it's worse than others. I could tell, others say they can't. When I was doing the book tour, I did that show Ridiculousness on MTV. And for the whole first segment, I was having the worst, like a horrible anxiety attack. And afterwards, I came off to the side and I said to my publicist with me, I said, "Ooh, man, how bad was that?" And he was like, "What are you talking about?" I said, "Well, I was clearly, you guys could tell I was struggling that first segment." They're like, "No, we couldn't." So my point to you is, it's a lot worse to us than it is to everybody else. Now our pain is real. What we're going through is real. I call it wrestling with my abuser when it's happening. Because as I'm having an anxiety attack, I'm trying to talk to America, but at the same time, I'm talking to it, trying to just reason with it, telling them, "Hey man, you want to sit here and hang out? No problem, but you're not taking this shit over on me today." But it took me a long while to get to that and to understand that. So what I do now is I do some breath work right before I go on. I now tell, so I'll walk over to Kurt Menefee when it's a bad one. I'll say, hey, man, oh, man, I'm going through it right now. So reaching out and having a team and telling people, that helps. And just to be able to tell somebody else so I could share it, it lets the abuser go take a hike a little bit more.
It's interesting, Jay, because you've probably gotten very good through stoicism, through coping mechanisms at concealing an anxiety that you've been disguising for a long time. But of course, as soon as it starts to creep in, you notice it, it resembles doubt. Now you're alone with it. And now you're wondering in your vulnerability, can everyone see this? I'm not actually good at hiding this. Everyone can see right through me. They can see I'm scared. They can see my softest spots.
Yeah, and the thing for me, Dan, being able to talk about this now, it's been liberating where I could feel now if people see it, which again, they don't, but if they do, I'm like, all right, I'm good. People understand. That's why I wrote this book, and that's why I'm doing this podcast, so I could have a bunch of teammates who get me, who understand me, who go, okay, shit, he's struggling right now. We got his back.
What a fascinating thing, though, Jay, honestly, in terms of changing your life spiritually, to go from alone with a private shame that you felt needed to be concealed at all times to sharing it with the people you love and trust most so that they can help you with the weight. It's just such an unbelievable light and discovery to find that that gets you closer to tranquility, even if it's a daily fight.
Man, and now you guys do. I got you have me crying now. So thanks.
It's so cool to see though, Jay, because I can't believe how long you were alone with this, right? And I don't know what gave you the freedom or strength. I guess it was probably rock bottom, right? Like I simply can't grit and man my way through this. I have to get some help on this.
Yeah, so I've always gotten help. I've been going to a therapist since I was four. I wrote something one time in The Athletic and didn't think anything of it. And just because somebody asked me a question, and it was me helping all the vets and players I've been helping, and we've all been helping at MVP, our Emerging Vets and Players charity, where I open up to all these badasses, these combat vets and fighters and football players. And somebody asked me about, well, where do you kind of get the education to talk about this? And I was like, well, I don't have the education, and I got the suffering. That's my schooling in this. And then I just started talking about it. And the reaction was like, oh my God, like, wow. And I was like, whoa, wait, what? And I didn't really understand it at first. And which is kind of weird because I hid it. Why didn't I recognize that everybody else is hiding it? Now I look at it and say, we're in the majority. And that's one of the things I'm trying to do. I'm trying to get us all, like you just admitted, like how great was that? You just admitted on air to your audience that you have anxiety, and man, that's gotta be liberating for you, right? Like you would have hidden the same thing. I think we're in the majority. We all have something. And it's funny because I was just talking to somebody the other day who kept saying they don't have depression, anxiety, but then kept talking about their dark periods. And I'm going, okay, you don't want to label it, no problem. But you have gray. We all have gray. So I want us all to realize we're in the majority. We have, and again, my level's clinical. You don't have to have my level to be going through something, but also you're surrounded by people who are going through shit, whether it's social media making you think your lives suck and you feel left out or bullied from Twitter, or just, you know, just a different day and age. And shit, we also just came through a time where we were forced to isolate, and that messed with a lot of people. So now, yeah, I'm trying to get us to realize we're in the majority. Back then, I thought I was in the minority. And that made it scary and lonely and made me feel like something's wrong with me and made me feel like I was damaged. And I used to say, like, I'm f***ed up, but I'm good with my f***ed upness to our vets. But that wasn't true either. I wasn't good with my f***ed upness. I've now changed it to I'm f***ed up and I'm learning to be good with my f***ed upness.
If you were to ballpark it, what's the percentage of the players in the NFL do you think are actually working on their mental health?
Not enough. At all at night. And here's, you know, I just went and spoke to the Seahawks. I spoke to the Vikings. I spoke to the USFL. I got brought in and talked to all of them. And, you know, my message to them was, look, you guys, mental health is so reactive, right? You guys don't only catch passes when you got the drops. You don't just do wind sprints or run when you think your speed is declining. You do it all the time. But mental health, man, we only meet with a therapist when the sky is falling. And sometimes that's too late. So we need to start being reactive. The problem is that there's not enough therapists for us out there. So you got to lean into your teammates. You got to look to your brother, or I'll say it every group out there, your brother, your sister on your right or your left, and start leaning into them. Start being vulnerable and open up to them, because we got to start getting more proactive to this. And I don't think enough of them are proactive. And man, they're, when I go and give these talks to them, like the majority of the room will walk up to me privately after and go, oh, Jay, thank you so much for talking about this, because I got this too. And I didn't know who to talk to. When I did the USFL, it was so cool. I had this dude come up and he was like damn near in tears. And he's a tough looking motherfucker, like a badass looking, like one of the toughest dudes in the room. And he comes over and he's trying not to cry. And he's like, Mr. Glazer, man, thanks so much for talking about this. But who do I got to talk to about this? And one of the other guys, this is exactly what I was talking about. One of his teammates said, hey, man, you can talk to me. And the guy just turned around and was like, for real? He's like, yeah, that's what Jay's saying. Like, lean into me. And this dude just starts crying. And I get choked up talking about that, because it's like, this is my why. This is somebody who's been in a lot of pain for a long time and didn't know it was okay to lean into somebody else. And we've got, my whole thing is, we got to walk this walk together. You got to find your teams. We got to do this shit together, because the gray, that's why.
Is the league making it easier for players to talk to somebody? Are the teams hiring consultants to talk to players?
So what happens now is they have, like, they all have a mental health professional, but that's, you know, for me, subjective also. Like, they're not all good. Some of them are great. And I think a lot of these players have trust issues. And I think here's the good thing. The league, and I've talked to the league about this, they are trying to figure out a better way. They just don't know yet. But none of us know yet. Like, that's why I say, like, I'm f***ed up, but I'm learning to be good with my f***ed upness. I don't know yet. I'm a work in progress. Right? People go, oh, you're good now. Hold on, no, f***, I ain't good yet. I don't know if that'll ever happen. I'm better. I got more teammates. I see blue more now. I tend to put myself, I've switched my mindset. I used to operate from the gray, and it was just how life was. And now I'm like, you know, I deserve to be in the blue. So now I get up every morning and I have these, I do breath work and I do meditation. I do these things and I try and put myself in the blue. And I try and get those crazy roommates in my head to play along nicely with each other by saying we belong in the blue, and get the gray roommates to quiet down a little bit. But I think overall, we're probably years away from figuring out a better way. The better way is that we start talking about it. But even teams, like, I've started to talk to teams going, guys, have more than one therapist. Have 2, 3, 4, 5 options. Because not every therapist that I've worked with that I've liked. You know, I went to Thailand. I work with a monk now from Thailand. I Zoom with him every Tuesday night. Like, Dan, only your boy over here could Zoom with a Thai monk on Tuesday night.
I really am. Jay, I'm not just happy for you. I'm not just proud of you. Unbreakable is the podcast and the book if you want to feel less alone with this weight. But you're better for a number of different reasons, even if you say it's a constant work in progress. But when you acknowledge out loud the we all have something, I'm not sure, Jay, how used to you get with the pain. You get numb to it. You don't know. I don't know, as we talk about this.
I don't get used to it.
We all have something. When you say it, if most people know that they have something, or they've just gotten so used to living with the pain that they need to hear someone else say it out loud so they can say, wait a minute, okay, I am in the majority with this. Do I have something? I don't know the percentage of people listening to this, how many of them are aware, yes, I bite my nails. I have all sorts of stuff here that is anxiety, and I don't know that it's anxiety.
Right, or people sitting there going, you know, just for no reason thinking the sky is falling, or doubting themselves, or again, like, I said, like, social media, man, makes us all feel left out. It's a lonely feeling. It's shitty. And as a result, a lot of us think our dreams aren't coming true. We've seen too many people check out of life because they think their dreams aren't coming true. Like, for people out there who don't know, first, and Dan knows, first 11 years of my career, I was making $9,450 a year, living in New York City, getting rejected more than any human being I've ever met in my life. That's a lot. 11 f***ing years of rejection. So I was broke as shit. So I went from broke, I know broke, and I know unbreakable. right? But nowadays, like, man, if it was back then and I just kept looking on Instagram and Twitter and seeing how everybody else seemed to be making it and I wasn't, I don't know if I would last those.
It's funny years. To hear you say that, though, Jay, because you're the one making us envious when you're hanging out with Frank Stallone. It's just Frank Stallone that we're envious of when we see him wandering around your Instagram. I know
Sly Stallone, not Frank.
No, but we're not talking about Sly. We're getting jealous of merely Sly's brother.
Far from over.
I don't hang out with Frank. I hang out with Sly.
You gotta
I want to make that very clear.
Don't hang out with Frank. We love Frank around here.
Maybe not politically.
Well, just his music. Mike has an awkward football transition for you. Again, a reminder to the audience, Unbreakable is the name of the book and the name of the podcast.
Yeah, and also, I think Jay, when he came out publicly with this at the moment, I thought he was such a great spokesperson for destigmatizing this, because he's as manly a man as you can get. Football, MMA, he's funny, he's charming, he's well-liked, and people probably look at television and say, that guy's got it all going for him right now, and he can show you that when someone's really cooking like that professionally and on the TV, you can't tell. It doesn't jump off the screen. So
hey, and my life is great. My life is great. Amazing. Between my ears sucks.
Yeah.
But and I didn't sign up for that. I didn't ask for that.
But it's hugely powerful, and Jay knows, and which is why he's taking the baton and running with it, because he knows the value in people being able to go to him because of how he is. So thank you yet again. How does Tua get more out of Cedric Wilson?
I think that's a Mike McDaniel question.
Thank you.
How do they really get him going?
Thank you, Jay. Thank you. We appreciate any time, but most of all, we appreciate the work that you're doing here, because it's nice to see you on this path toward more light. Thank you, sir.
Hey, Dan, how cool did you feel this past week where, as people listen to your show, the number of messages that came in from people saying, you lifted me, you saved me, thank you, I'm not alone. Your whole staff, all y'all, I hope that lifted you up too, because that's what being of service is. That's what this does. And there's so many ways for us to be of service, but think about your show. Your show is fun, it's a great show, but how'd you feel when you got messages from people saying, man, thank you, you saved me?
We can't do a more important thing with the platform, I don't think, honestly. Like, I don't, at this point, it's the greatest compliment we get if people are less lonely or we help them through dark periods.
Yeah, or this asshole standing behind me can just ask
unbelievable,
you if you
cried
again.
Chris Cody. Do you want to apologize publicly?
Week 3 predictions.
Jay, good talking to you. We will talk to you soon, buddy. Thank you, sir.
Love you too.
16 teams, one trophy. The NBA playoffs are here, and all roads lead to the finals. Will NBA champions like Jokic and Giannis dominate the playoffs again, or will emerging stars like Anthony Edwards and Jason Tatum solidify their names in NBA history? The playoffs are where legends are made, and TNT will make sure you don't miss a moment of the action. Tune in to TNT's coverage of the NBA playoffs presented by Google Pixel on TNT, True TV, and Max.
Hey everybody, it's Mike, and typically I record these Miller Lite spots in the studio, but I requested that I specifically record this one from my home office because I got a window, and I'm looking outside at those beautiful fishtail palms, knowing that in just a few seconds, I'm going to go out there, I'm going to crack open a can of Miller Lite, because while sitting outside by my fishtail palms is usually a good time, I like to take it up a notch and make it a Miller time. That's right, you crack that puppy open, and you don't have to think about what you're drinking for a darn second. A lot has changed over the years, including my backyard. Lots of landscaping being done right now. But the one thing that hasn't changed is the undebatable quality of Miller Lite. You don't have to choose what quality is the best. Miller Lite has great taste, and it's less filling. Tastes like Miller time. To get Miller Lite delivered right to your door, visit MillerLite.com/Dan, or you can find it pretty much anywhere that sells beer. Celebrate responsibly. Miller Brewing Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. 96 calories per 12 ounces, fewer calories and carbs than premium regular beer.
Don Levitard.
Again, started on the breakfast flan.
Oh, man. I've been singing a song to myself all morning long. What? Breakfast flan.
Stugatz.
You've never heard the breakfast flan
no,
song?
No, hit me with it.
Okay. I wish I had some breakfast flan. Breakfast flan. Where can I find a breakfast like that?
This is the Dan Le Batard Show with the Stugats.
Presented by DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app today and use code DAN for a special offer when you sign up. That's code DAN, only at DraftKings Sportsbook.
Matt Williams. Juan Gonzalez.
Long gone.
Danny Tartable. Paul Sorrento. Tim Salmon. Chili Davis.
Enough of this already. You've been doing this for 24 hours, 24 straight hours. He's just been muttering 90s names since yesterday into a microphone because he's actively trying to get fired unsuccessfully. I might add, time now for yet another stat of the day.
It's also been playing since yesterday.
We don't even have the intro anymore.
It is brought to you by ZipRecruiter. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire.
Folks, the Dodgers are having a good year. At some point very soon, they're going to win their 106th game. They are closing in on that number. Why is this significant, you ask? Well, according to Sarah Langs on Twitter, Slangs on Sports is her handle, there have been seven teams that have won 100 or more games in three straight full seasons, including this current Dodgers team. Only one team has ever won 105 games in three straight seasons, which is the 1942-44 Cardinals, which, come on, it's during World War II, this league was decimated. And no team has ever won 106 games in three consecutive seasons. So if and when the Dodgers win their 106th game, it can be said that they are on the greatest regular season run in MLB history. Although I should add, doing the playoffs.
It is right. Such a great equalizer.
Well,
it's such a great equalizer in that sport that they are unfairly good, and yet baseball can just happen to them in the playoffs, which I assume is what everyone is now rooting for as you go to these games with your kid. You are now a bandwagon person. As an LA person, as a Boston Red Sox fan, you attend vastly more Dodger games than you do Red Sox games, correct?
Oh, yeah, by a factor of 10 or 20 or sometimes infinity. But the crazy thing about this is that this list of teams that have won 100 plus games in three straight seasons, it's this current Dodger team, the 17-19 Astros, who won one title, the 02-04 Yankees, who won zero, the 97-99 Braves, who won zero, the 69-71 Orioles, who did win in 70, and I think, did they win back-to-back? I can't remember. The 42-44 Cardinals, who cares? The 29-31 A's, who cares?
Right.
So really, most of the teams that have been on this kind of run aren't, they didn't win back-to-back-to-back World Series. They only won once or maybe twice. And that's just the deal with baseball. So, I don't know. I don't know if the Dodgers, though, do the Dodgers inspire, like, hatred in people the way the Astros do or the Yankees do?
I would think dominance does. I would think it's not even dominance. I would think money does. I would think that being...
Yeah, but the teams they might play, the Yankees, the Mets have the highest payroll in baseball.
But the Dodgers have an advantage that their money, their TV deal allows them to have all those victories and then add Freddie Freeman as well when they're already just totally overwhelming.
Right. I mean, they're plus 325.
Their run differential, it's like 100 runs better than anyone else in the sport, right? It's not like they're a little bit better than everyone. They're a lot better than everyone.
No, in fact, I looked up their expected win-loss for the last 2 years based on the run differential, and it's like 12 games higher than it actually was. Like, their expected win loss is like 219 and 101 or something. It's wild. Like, they really are so dominant. And yet you look at the Mets and the Braves and you think, like, well, either of those teams could, I mean, DeGrom and Scherzer could totally take them out in the playoffs. Like, it's just the deal with the sport.
Mm-hmm. The Yankees are second, Dan. They're plus 222. Like,
so more than 100 runs better. And the I believe the Mariners that won 116 games, right? The most ever in a season. They haven't been to the playoffs back again since, correct?
No. They're going to get there this year, I think, knock on wood. I am rooting for them, but I think they're going to get there. And it'll be the first time in 20 years or 21 years or whatever that they've been in the playoffs.
Who else are you rooting for? How many rooting interests do you have in baseball?
I mean, one, I root for the Red Sox, and then I root for anybody who's playing the Yankees. So my hopes this year are very much pinned on the Houston Astros, and which is a legitimate rooting interest of mine, by the way. My grandparents lived in Houston my entire life. I spent a lot of time in Houston, so I used to go to Astros games all the time in the Astrodome.
Bona fides.
I saw Jim DeShays once throw like a four hitter.
Jimmy DeShays, Mike.
There you go.
I don't think you're allowed to make fun of Jessica and all her rooting allegiances when I ask you how many rooting interests do you have, and you say just one: the Red Sox, anyone who plays the Yankees, and the Astros, like, and the Why? Dodgers, and the Dodgers. That's more than one rooting interest. That's
you're
like
rooting for everyone.
That's
but
like
one
17
team.
Root and the Mariners.
I have one rooting interest in baseball, the Boston Red Sox. Once the Red Sox are out of it, as I have been for a month and a half, I root for other things, like anyone who's playing the Yankees, or which in this case includes the Astros are the only team in the AL who look like they can beat the Yankees. So, yeah, I'm going to root for the Astros. I root for the Dodgers because I live in LA and my son's a fan. Why are you all
that's
over
not
me?
That's not one
you know
team.
You know what? You should fire me. I think that this isn't working
anymore.
I would
anymore. Love to
you fire
you,
me.
Mike. First of all, I only have one baseball team, too. It's the Cubs. The Marlins when they're giving me free shit, and the White Sox when I can get clout from it in the postseason. But it's one team. You're allowed to have one team, Dan. No one's saying anything about one team. Right, Mike?
That's right. When
Thank
you can
you.
Get clout from it?
Yeah, like when they're playing well, and I can be like, oh my God, Chicago, yay.
I like your style. I have 32 NFL teams.
When do they play well? When?
2005?
Howdy folks, it's Mike Ryan. I'm living the gimmick right now. The playoffs have already gotten me, and we're a couple of days into it. It's like a playoff equinox that's going on right now. It's ridiculous, and if you're like me, you like rooting on your team. Trust me, I just bought 3 for my wife, daughter, and myself for game 1. I live it. Because I've been out there. I've been out in those streets. I've been panicking last second trying to find deals. And then when I eventually settle on something, I'm not sure if it's the lowest price out there, and I'm getting just totally blitzed with surprise fees. Well, thankfully, Game Time takes it out of the equation. All the fees are up front. There's no surprises. You get to see what your seat looks like. It's amazing, the technology we have these days. But Game Time has your back always. Take the guesswork out of buying tickets with Game Time. Download the Game Time app right now, create an account, and use code DAN for $20 off your first purchase. Terms apply. Again, create an account and redeem code DAN for $20 off. Download the Game Time app today. Last minute deals, lowest price, guaranteed.
Before we get out of here on The Big Suey, want to highlight one of the other podcasts in the Lebatard and Friends podcast network. And that, of course, is The Cooligans with Alexis Guerreros and Christian Polanco, who cover soccer in a very comedic way, in a very Lebatard and Friends sort of way. And they had the chance to actually go to Germany and sit down with the U.S. men's national team midfielder Giovanni Reyna, one of the stars anticipated to feature in the U.S. squad in the World Cup. The U.S. this morning losing by 2-0 against Japan in Germany. But here's a snippet of what the Cooligans did with Gio Reyna.
Talking a little bit about America, obviously the rivalry with the U.S. men's national team and Mexico has taken a slight turn in the favor of the U.S. men's national team. You play with Jude. You guys talking a little bit? You're going to be in the same group?
We're talking a lot of it.
We heard a rumor that of the whole men's national team squad, you have the most, let's just say, New Yorker on the subway attitude. You feel me?
I mean, I'm the only Tyler Adams too, but I like to say myself. I haven't been in a while. Maybe they forgot. Forgot what I'm like, but I would say, if you asked who probably talks the most trash and who's the
okay, good.
Who's the most New Yorker? 99% of them would probably say me.
Does it go back and forth in the
locker
room?
Yeah, Jude likes to talk too. He's from Birmingham, so he might talk more than me, to be honest. Wow. It's all fun though.
There's already a build up to this match. Obviously, it's going to be Black Friday in the World Cup. What is it as a player? What's that feeling? Because even we're talking trash online to just English people.
Yo, England getting all the smoke.
What's it like as a player?
Yeah, it's exciting. Obviously, it's the World Cup. You know, obviously we have 3 games in the group. Obviously, they're, you know, the favorites to come out of the group. They're a really good team. But it's the World Cup. No game is easy. We're gonna give it our best, and then you know we have a lot of quality too on our team. So you know, in one game, anything can happen. And still a decent amount of time. So I'm sure we're gonna come up with a great game plan, and we'll be ready to go.
Okay. Look out. I heard three lions are getting slaughtered on November 25th. That's what I heard.
Hey, everybody, it's Mike, and typically I record these Miller Lite spots in the studio, but I requested that I specifically record this one from my home office because I got a window, and I'm looking outside at those beautiful fishtail palms, knowing that in just a few seconds, I'm going to go out there. I'm going to crack open a can of Miller Lite because while sitting outside by my fishtail palms is usually a good time, I like to take it up a notch and make it a Miller time. That's right, you crack that puppy open, and you don't have to think about what you're drinking for a darn second. A lot has changed over the years, including my backyard. Lots of landscaping being done right now. But the one thing that hasn't changed is the undebatable quality of Miller Lite. You don't have to choose what quality is the best. Miller Lite has great taste, and it's less filling. Tastes like Miller time. To get Miller Lite delivered right to your door, visit MillerLite.com/Dan, or you can find it pretty much anywhere that sells beer. Celebrate responsibly. Miller Brewing Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. 96 calories per 12 ounces, fewer calories and carbs than premium regular beer.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.